Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not going to be joined by anybody on this one because, well, we're kind of changing up the schedule for this one. We have the holiday coming up, and we're going to have a couple days off here. So basically what we're going to do is Pete and I are going to release a show after the Lakers play the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow night. By the time you guys are listening to this, it'll be Wednesday night's game. Pete and I are going to hop on and talk about that. We'll send everybody off into the holiday weekend with those positive thoughts and all of that stuff. So for today's show, I'm going to talk about a couple things. We talked with Chris Manning about LeBron and Cleveland and all of that. We got that kind of all those narratives. We took care of all of those. So what we're going to do for today's show, because I didn't really get to touch on it very much, is the Washington Wizards situation. It's a disaster out there. Their books are so bad that there was a reported deal that they obviously turned down. No deal was made, but it was contingent basically upon, or it was built. The foundation of a deal was basically Otto Porter for expirings and second rounders, which is pretty crazy when you consider. I mean, Porter is a good player, but they're in such dire straits financially out there in Washington that they're going to do whatever they can to get off those off their deals. So I'll use that as some kind of context to talk about the situation out there and what that might have to do with the Lakers and what kind of decisions and choices that the Lakers have to make and how I would lean with those decisions and choices if I was in charge. So that'll be the first segment and a half or so of the show. And then for anybody who follows me on Twitter, which you can do at Anthony Irwin LA, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers, I spent a lot of time looking at lineup data on NBA.com. They have a great feature where you can build lineups based off of two-player combinations, three-player combinations, four-player combinations, and on up to the five-man combinations. I spent a lot of time looking at two-, three-, and four-guy combinations because when I used to coach, that's kind of how I used to build my rotation. And so if I was put in charge, if I was just given the keys to the Lakers, I basically just hopped onto NBA.com and just checked out, all right, let's see which combinations work the best so far with the Lakers, and we'll try to build a rotation that way. So we'll go through that exercise together in the second and part of the second and then into the third segment of today's show. Today's show is going to be brought to you by Mizuma and by Metro Infinity. More on those guys in a bit. But let's start, though, with the entire debacle that is the Washington Wizards. It is a disaster out there. Somehow, adding Dwight Howard to a roster of some of the least happy NBA players that the league has to offer didn't work out. Wild. Who could have seen that coming, right? Actually, everybody could have seen that coming. Dwight Howard entered the season as a literal pain in the ass for that team, and things have only gotten worse. And now the Washington Wizards are sending feelers out there, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. They are sending feelers out there to see what type of offers they might be able to get for John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, and on down the line throughout that roster. I'm going to focus my time on those three guys, John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter, and make the case. I already wrote the column for Silver Screen and Roll, which you can check out if you'd like. But here, you can listen to me could make the cases for all of this stuff. Look, all those guys are good NBA players. I'll say Otto Porter and Bradley Beal are good NBA players. What I wish we would do, though, when it comes to defining actual caliber of NBA player is not just look at talent level, right? Because like John Wall is about as talented a point guard that the NBA has ever seen, but he's a negative impact kind of guy. I don't like the way that he approaches the game. So while he is a good basketball player, obviously, he is a good individual NBA player. I just don't know if he is going to be good moving forward for the rest of his career if you're hoping to win anything meaningful, right? So all those guys would be good additions to the roster in a vacuum, but it would also come at an opportunity cost, and I don't think we can ignore that opportunity cost. We're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I'll first define what opportunity cost is so that everybody, we're all on the same page here, and then we'll get into why not only do, like, John Wall just doesn't fit because he just doesn't fit with LeBron James. He needs the ball. He can't shoot. He's pretty selfish as an NBA player. So, like, Wall to me, I'm going to spend the least amount of time on because he's expensive. He doesn't make any sense for the Lakers. He doesn't make any sense for LeBron James. I don't like his approach to the game. The dude at one point was asked, hey, fans are a little concerned about your drinking and your partying away from the game. And his response was, well, I'm not going to sit at home and just be boring. Like, cool, man. Like, that's great. And look, if I was I think he's about to hit his 30s. If I was reaching my lower 30s and I was a zillionaire the way that John Wall is, it would be hard for me to ignore the opportunities that I'm sure he has presented because of the lifestyle he has earned for himself, too. Like, this is all worth mentioning that he has earned for it. But that said, it's not exactly a winning attitude, right? Like, that all that can be true. So I'm going to spend the least amount of time on John Wall. I'm probably going to spend the most amount of time on Otto Porter and on Bradley Beal, and I'll do that here in a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mazuma. Mazuma USA, as I say, every single show has been absolutely phenomenal with me. I actually just got an email just today, right before I started recording, saying that I can set up a tax meeting with my tax consultant, my tax expert, who is part of the team that they have put together for me, and they can put together that same kind of team for you and your small business if you give them a call at 213-947-6926. Again, that is 213-947-6926, and they have packages starting at only $75 a month, and they will figure out what fits best for you, not just in terms of cost and all of that, but in terms of what your business most needs. In my case, I need all the help I can get. So they have all hands on deck trying to help me out through this stuff. So for if you're trying to figure out for your small business what you need to get your finances in order and all of that, make sure you give them a call. They have licensed CPAs, bookkeepers, and accountants all here in the U.S., all within an email, a call, a text. It's as simple as that to get a hold of them. So again, that's 213-947-6926. Mazuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. We're going to take another second here, and when we come back, we're going to keep on keeping on. All right, so let's focus on Otto Porter and Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, if I was looking for the exact type of player that the Lakers could use, he's pretty close. Obviously, I would look at Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis and all that stuff just because those guys are hugely talented. But in terms of what this specific roster needs, a shooting guard who can create his own shot, is solid-ish on defense, can knock down open shots when those opportunities present themselves. That's exactly what the Lakers could use. That's what Bradley Beal is. And yet, he comes at opportunity cost. If the Lakers were to make a move for Bradley Beal, they would be passing up on the opportunity to even pitch Kevin Durant in the offseason. Or if they do that, they would have to basically completely gut their roster for the mere opportunity to maybe get a meeting with Kevin Durant. And even then, I believe they would still be kind of sort of asking for a pay cut, right? And that's just not where you want to start any kind of negotiation with when it comes to a superstar of Kevin Durant's standing, right? So, and look, like I said, Bradley Beal is really freaking good at basketball. I really like his game. I could watch him shoot all day. I'm a shooting nerd. I can't get enough of the way he shoots basketball. But it comes at the cost of potentially signing Kevin Durant. And look, the other thing too with and the same can be kind of sort of said to a lesser extent with Otto Porter. He doesn't fit quite as well as Bradley Beal does, though Otto Porter is the kind of player that you could just put on all 30 of the NBA teams and they would be a better team because he's a 3-and-D wing who is a low usage guy. I like his approach to the game. And so in that respect, the Lakers can always, anybody can always use that kind of guy. But I'm telling you, if you're talking about like addressing needs, Bradley Beal is the guy that the Lakers would theoretically have their eye on here, right? Unfortunately, though, an opportunity cost means making a decision costs you something else down the line, right? And it costs you an opportunity somewhere else down the line. And so for the Lakers, not being able to potentially pitch Kevin Durant, like, yes, Bradley Beal would help this year, but is that team's a playoff team? Is that a title contending team? Probably not, right? I wouldn't take them against the Golden State Warriors. And if the entire point for the LeBron James era is to win titles, who gives you a better opportunity or chance at winning a title? Is it Kevin Durant or is it Bradley Beal? And if you sign Kevin Durant, there's a good chance that Bradley Beal is probably going to be available for trade this upcoming summer anyway, right? So if the Lakers try to pitch Kevin Durant and he declines, then they can move on. They'll have cap space this year. They'll have assets this year that they can go to Washington and they can approach them and say, okay, fine, let's make a deal. Here's a couple draft picks. You move off of that contract and you get to move on with the rest of your franchise's history. That type of situation is going to present itself no matter what, right? That's the nice thing about having financial flexibility. But if the Lakers make a trade now, there goes some of that financial flexibility, which is what the Lakers are looking to do, which is what the Lakers are looking to build on moving forward. Like that, it's a long shot. Don't get me wrong. I don't think the Lakers can even pull it off. But let's say the Lakers use their young assets on Bradley Beal right now, right? Well, then that A costs you the opportunity potentially to talk to Kevin Durant, but it definitely 100% costs you the opportunity of potentially linking, as Jarrett Jack hypothesized the other day, linking LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis. And that's the kind of hypothetical that Magic Johnson, that Rob Pelinka, that Jeannie Buss, that LeBron James even has their eye on moving forward. And for me personally, as it's nice having, you know, one bird in the hand versus two in the bush. Well, those two birds in this hypothetical bush, Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant, are like freaking eagles, right? They're bald eagles standing over there. And if there is a hypothetical, if there is a situation where the Lakers could potentially go out and get those guys, that's what the Lakers need to be focused on, in my opinion. Call me wrong. That's fine. We're going to, that went a little bit longer than I thought it was going to. I'm going to introduce some of what I was looking into, and then we'll throw to the back half of the show here. Basically what I did, I was sitting there and don't tell Harrison this. I was supposed to be writing one of the three articles that I had to write today. And I hopped onto NBA.com and I just started going through lineup data. I'm a nerd. This is how I know I'm a nerd, because I started, it was a full-on rabbit hole. I just dove right the heck in. I wanted to find out, all right, which Lakers just in general are the most impactful since they've gotten here, right? And basically, and this is the foundation of the research that I did, the short amount of research that I did, basically what I found was LeBron, obviously, most impactful, I would imagine. That's not really blowing anybody out of their shoes right now. But LeBron, Tyson Chandler, and Josh Hart, those were the three guys who stuck out the most, who were involved in the most lineups, who were positive impacts. They were individually the most impactful. And so that was kind of the foundation of the rotation that I kind of sort of put together. So what we're going to do next is I'm going to walk you through some of the rotation that I was able to piece together. But before we get to that, today's show is brought to you in part by Metro Infinity. They are located off of 821 East Central Avenue in Monrovia, California, just off of 210, and you gotta swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility. They have new and used cars. All of their inventory, by the way, can be found on metroinfinity.com, and you gotta check it out. We are in the holiday season, and if that special somebody, extra special somebody, is looking for a car and you really want to blow them out of the water, all of the entire Infinity line, they have something for any potential need that you might have as it pertains to cars. So go check it out. And if you go to either their facility off of the 210 in Monrovia or to metroinfinity.com, or you talk to them on the phone, make sure you mention Locked On Lakers and they'll knock $500 off of your purchase of your vehicle. You don't even have to go to the dealer. If you don't want to, you can go on to metroinfinity.com, you can give them a call, and they'll bring the car out to you along with the paperwork, and you can fill all that out either at your place of work or at your place of residence, and you can completely avoid the stress of going to a dealership. So give them a call at 626-599-7510 or check out metroinfinity.com. We're going to take another quick second here and we're going to wrap up this conversation about rotations. All right, so like I said, I started with three guys who I felt like were the most impactful Lakers that they currently have on their roster. The guys who, when they step onto the court, the Lakers just seem to be better as a team. That sounds a lot like eye test. It is. It is. And the best type of analysis, in my opinion, combines eye test and the statistical information that we have on NBA.com, Basketball Reference, anywhere that you want to find these stats. They're all out there, and it's just information. That's all analytics is. I started with those three guys, and the information was pretty daunting. They were far and away the best either individual guys that they have in terms of impact, or when those three guys were on the court, and it was not nearly a big enough sample size. I believe they've only played 48 minutes together. And that needs to be way less, by the way, or way more. And they in those minutes, though, the Lakers are something like 38 to 40 points better per 100 points per 100 possessions, right? And I'm not gonna, I don't want to overload you guys in numbers. Nobody likes that kind of radio. So what we're gonna do, though, is that's going to be the starting point of this rotation. That's the Lakers' bread and butter right now. And now you kind of look at, all right, which players make the most sense to play alongside those guys? JaVale McGee probably doesn't fit that description, right? Because you already have Tyson Chandler out there. That would completely screw up the spacing there. You could say Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, especially lately, with the way he's been shooting, though that's getting a little too similar to the lineups that LeBron said he wanted to avoid. And again, these politics matter, right? Like LeBron saying that he doesn't want to just be the central figure of all of these lineups, you have to take that into account. So then you say, all right, well, maybe you need a point guard. And I think at some point, if Lonzo Ball ever is, I don't know if it's a conditioning issue. I don't know if it's just, if it's something mental or whatever. But at some point, he seems the most capable of being impactful along these same lines, right? So maybe you add Lonzo Ball to those lineups. Those lineups have been positive, by the way, those four-man lineups between Lonzo Ball and LeBron and Chandler and Hart, and then from there you decide, all right, do we want another wing? I would probably say so. Do you want a defensive or an offensive one? Okay, well then you go with either, if you want offense, Kuzma, though he's been kind of disappointing. And while we're kind of on the subject of Kyle Kuzma, he and LeBron have played more than any other two-man lineup across the entire Lakers roster. And it makes sense. Kuzma and LeBron would play the most. They seem like a very natural pairing. Personally, I would like that to be Josh Hart and LeBron, or Josh Hart and Tyson Chandler, who have also been either Josh Hart or Tyson Chandler and LeBron. Like, if you're talking about two-man lineups, it's going to be LeBron and somebody. So far, the two best guys, as I said earlier, have been Tyson Chandler and Josh Hart. So if you're just going back to figuring out the lineups, if you're trying to figure out the starting lineup or the lineup that you think should play the most together, you go point guard, you go Tyson Chandler, you go LeBron, and you go Josh Hart, and then either Kyle Kuzma or Brandon Ingram. That seems to make the most sense. That right there should be, in my opinion, the foundation of the rotation. That should be your starting lineup. That should be the lineup, or some iteration of that should be the lineup that the Lakers lean on most heavily. So then you try to find out, all right, how are you going to design the rotation? Are you going to stagger these guys and just kind of flip them in and out? If you are going to do that, what's nice about building from the inside out, or from, you know, a centralized three-man lineup out, is that, all right, well, if you're going to do the staggering, go the staggering route, well, then who fills a lot of the needs that some of those three-man guys seem to fit? So Tyson Chandler, JaVale McGee is a natural fit, right? So you just kind of stagger those guys' minutes. If it's nobody really, you can't really stagger LeBron with anybody and have all of the needs that he fills taken care of, obviously. But you can say, all right, well, who does most of that? Brandon Ingram seems to, right? So then the next three-man lineup that you start looking at is Brandon Ingram, say KCP, and JaVale McGee. And they've been okay together this year. They, if you look at their numbers, it's been all right. It's a decent enough combination. It's not nearly on the level of the first three that I mentioned earlier, but it's okay. That's another combination that you can build a bench rotation out of, for example. And you continue to build your way through combinations, and you find out the rotation that makes the most sense to you. And what's cool is that as these sample sizes continue to get bigger, well, then now you start to you figure out some of these combinations, and you have actual data that you can use to back up your decisions. And while all of this starts, I mean, some of the decisions that the Lakers have made to this point obviously weren't made with data in mind when everybody started at zero, right? That's where the eye test comes into play. But as this data becomes more prevalent and pervasive, that's how you build this stuff. And as we go through the season, and Pete and I have talked about this at length, right, where you figure out whether it's combinations or sets on the court or styles of play or whatever it might be, you put those in your back pocket and you build the team's identity that way. And so far, based on some of the stuff that I've seen out there, it's fairly easy to piece this stuff together. And now that doesn't mean that I could do Luke Walton, or anybody who has access to NBA.com could do Luke Walton's shop. No, not by any stretch of the imagination. It takes having the players' respect to be able to do that. It takes conversation skills and communication skills to be able to do that. And not everybody has that. And Luke Walton does have a lot of those things. I think it means a lot that LeBron has gone out there and repeatedly said that a big part of why the Lakers have turned things around has been just merely trusting the coaches and executing their game plan. Like, that isn't either a coincidence, nor is it false, right? It's actually objectively true. So for the Lakers and for Luke Walton and all this stuff, and everybody involved, this data is there, And they all have access to this data. They probably have access to this data to the nth degree, I would imagine. I would hope. We still have yet to find out what their analytical department really looks like and how that works. But if I'm able to access this stuff, you can probably, it's safe to assume that they are as well. But you can kind of see how these things are going to come together. And as we pass the 20-game mark and as we get into the 30-game mark and into the 40-game mark, what you're going to see is these sample sizes are actually going to mean something. And some of these sample sizes, like there was one of them out there that there was one combination that I don't have off the top of my head. It was only 12 minutes that they've played together, but it had like a net 60-point rating. And it wasn't necessarily that I was going through and I just found the highest net ratings across the thing and completely ignored the 1 or 2 minutes or whatever. I as I said earlier, I figured out, all right, which combinations would seem to make the most sense. I looked for those combinations and this one, in this case, I believe it was Josh Hart, LeBron, Kuzma, and Chandler. I think as a group, they've only played 12 minutes together, and they have an offensive rating of 100 and a defensive rating of 42.9 or something like that. And what that tells me is that group seems to make sense. They need to play more than 12 minutes together. You need to find a way to get those guys on the court together. And that's kind of how this rotation is probably going to come together. Next time I talk to Pete, I'm probably going to pick his brain on this stuff. It's going to be annoying, I would imagine, the amount I send him messages and stuff. But this is how rotations come together in the NBA over the course of an 82-game season. And as I've said, it's all part of the process. And this process, to me, is exciting. It's fun to watch this kind of stuff come together. It's really exciting. Like I said, I'm a nerd. I spent an hour just looking at numbers, but it's really exciting as this stuff comes together. So I'm excited to continue this conversation tomorrow. Hope you guys enjoyed that. It was just a solo pod because of the weird schedule we have this week. Pete and I will talk after the Lakers hopefully beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland, and I'll talk to you guys then. Have a great rest of your day.